good to see everybody here today. We have quite a number that are here and visiting. We're delighted to have y'all here. Good to have everybody back that hadn't been able to be here for a while as well. I think that we've had more health struggles and more different things going on this year than any year I can remember in a long time. I would like to pass along, before I begin today, my personal thanks for all y'all have done to make sure I can get home and take care of my parents right now. I don't know exactly how many people it has taken to keep me up and going and doing the job that I'm paid to do when I can't be here. But I've really, truly appreciated it. I've even more so appreciated your prayers on their behalf. I will say this. I was visiting with Dad, I think it was on Wednesday night, and he was just telling me how much he's in the hospital or the rehab, waiting to get out of that so he can get home. And he was just saying how much he appreciated all the work that I've done for them. And I told him, well, I kind of owe you my life and my soul because he raised me well. But I also want you to know that I couldn't have possibly done all that without all y'all's help. Certainly, first and foremost, your prayers for them. But there's been so many that have had to fill in for what I'm supposed to be doing while I was gone. And I've just really appreciated that. And so thank you. It's really nice to have your dad thanking you for something that it took about 15 or 20 other people to help me to be able to do and accept the thanks as if I did it. So thank y'all. I appreciate it. I came back and the church lawn was mowed. One of the lawns I normally mow during the week, one of our teenage girls had gotten out and mowed. And I mean, just things like that all the way through. Not just the speaking and the taking part in the different things. So thank you for that. The other thing is this. I was presumptuous. I had just kind of mentioned in passing about maybe being gone on one of the mowing nights to Mike, and I didn't even think to call him yesterday. I did think to call him yesterday when I was doing the bulletin. I was just too lazy to call him. And so I'm not sure if he's going to be in town. So if there is a responsible adult who would like to help with the mowing tomorrow in case he's not able to do that, if you would see me. Now, those of you men who are not responsible, you know who you are. I'm not talking about you. You're off the hook. But those of you who might be responsible and able to help, we would really appreciate that. I know that the lawns have grown very well, and what a privilege it is for us to be able to take care of those who have raised us and provided us with a community that is in a church that are not only worth living in but worshiping with. And so thank you all for doing that. I want to talk about joy this morning. There's a passage in Galatians chapter 4, verse 15, and in the middle of it, Paul just asks him, what has happened to all your joy? And it's a great question. Joy is a little different than happiness. It's certainly different than pleasure. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Therefore, it is for those who are in a covenant relationship with God. And let me maybe describe that covenant relationship a little bit better. When a child is born, he's certainly born without sin. He or she is just as pure as the driven snow. And so they're in a covenant relationship with God. In other words, the promises that God has made are for them. These children have every right to pray to God. And I love it when little kids pray for me. I think their prayers have got to be heard as well or better than anybody else. And so I love it when the children are praying for me. They are in a covenant relationship with God. They're part of the promise. Now, there comes a point, I don't know, I think it's different with each one of us, but there comes a point where God reckons that first sin against us. He holds us accountable. We're now old enough to know better than to transgress His laws, but we do it anyway. And so no longer are we children of the covenant. We've broken the agreement, the contract. My mom and dad have a house right now that's under contract. A contract is a covenant, and it's between them and another couple that are buying it. Nobody else can come to them now this Thursday and pay them the money, even more than has been offered for them, and take that, because they have a contract, they have a covenant, an agreement. And so each party has to fulfill their parts of that agreement. If the people don't come on Thursday with the money, they don't get the house. And so even though there's been a promise by mom and dad to give them the house, it is contingent, that contract or that covenant, it's contingent upon the other party fulfilling their part as well. And so again, a child is okay. A child enjoys those benefits that all of us enjoy within our household. I didn't have to go out and work and make a living in my household when I was a little kid, because that wasn't my part. And when we're young before God and pure, then we enjoy the covenant. But again, we get to a point. I don't know what age it is for anybody. I just know there's a point that God holds us accountable and we fall out of that covenant. But he has a solution for that. It's very simple. It is so basic that many people just kind of ignore it, and therefore they ignore the promises and they ignore the joy that's available for them. He simply tells us, first of all, that we are to believe in his Son. Found over and over through Scripture. John 3:16 is certainly one of those areas. We're told in Acts chapter 2 that those who accepted or believed in Christ received forgiveness and salvation. We're also told that a confession of that belief, a calling on the name of the Lord, those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Acts chapter 2 tells us this. Romans chapter 10 tells us this. And Romans chapter 10 even tells us what that calling on the name of the Lord is. Anyone who confesses that Jesus is Lord and believes in his heart that God raised him from the dead will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so we have that. We're also told that those who repent will be saved. In Acts chapter 2, Peter commanded the people to repent and be baptized, and he told them two things would happen. They would receive forgiveness of their sins, and they would also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not the miraculous gift that allowed those people during the New Testament times to do the miracles that were miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, but this is just a seal of redemption. It's as if you have a part of God within you, this gift of the Holy Spirit. It's very much akin to the Ark of the Covenant that the Israelites carried with them that had the presence of God. You have the presence of God when you repent of your sins and are baptized after you have believed and have confessed that. But again, and then baptism is important. We're told that baptism is that which, combined with repentance and your belief and your confession of that belief, that actually, at that point that you're baptized, your sins are removed from you. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit at that point. It's the culmination of all these things that come together. And then you're in a covenant relationship with God. In Acts chapter 22, Paul talks about his own conversion and what Ananias said to him. Paul had a vision of Christ. He had spoken to Christ on the road. Paul had been praying for 3 days. If you could invite Jesus into your heart through prayer, Paul certainly would have done that. But Paul still had his sins. And he was never commanded to pray and invite Jesus into your heart. This is something that while it is certainly we want Christ in our heart, it's never commanded within in the Scripture. In Acts chapter 22, Paul said that Ananias said, "What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away." And so we know Paul still had his sins until that had happened. But once you do those things, you've obviously heard the word through reading the word or somebody revealing the word to you, preaching it honestly. But the only way you can know that is if you read it yourself. They believed it. They confessed their belief that Jesus was Lord. And as 1 John 5 says, they acknowledged that Jesus was the Son of God. They repented of their sins. They were baptized. They had their sins removed. The gift of the Holy Spirit was given to them, and now they're in a covenant relationship with him. And I realize, again, that seems too simple, but that's God's plan. And then his plan after that is that you walk faithfully before him. And if you stop walking faithfully before him, you catch yourself and you ask for forgiveness. And then you walk faithfully before him. And if you do that, you are in a covenant position with God. And as a child of God in a covenant position, you have the right to joy. The fruit of the Spirit, we sang this a lot on the Gospel Chariot, didn't we, young ones? Love, joy, peace, and so on. Fruit of the Spirit, you have joy. So when Paul asks the churches in the Galatian region, what's happened to all your joy? This was a serious question. They weren't joyful anymore. That meant, apparently, that they no longer were reaping the fruits of the Holy Spirit. They were Christians. When he addresses the church, the churches in Galatia, he's writing to those who are believers in Christ, to those who are in Christ. But they lost their joy. Have you ever lost your joy? I can tell you there's been a number of times that I have. And I can also tell you that those number of times were not because God turned his back on me or because God somehow broke his covenant with me. It was because I turned my back on him. And there are some times I think that I was even in a covenant relationship with him. I just forgot some of the gifts that he gives. Joy is great. Joy is, again, it's not pleasure. It's not fleeting moments of happiness. Joy is a blessing. The Greek literally means to take delight in or to experience gladness. Do you have gladness in your life? Because if you don't, that's a sign to you that you may not have the Spirit within you anymore, because a fruit of the Spirit, one of them is joy. And God wants you to have that. He didn't take it away from you because he's mad at you, because he doesn't like you. He takes it away from you, or you cease to have it because you gave it up. You broke the covenant. But those who are in a covenant relationship with God get to enjoy that. Psalm chapter 121, verses 1 through 7. One of the ways we can avoid losing our joy, I'm convinced, is by realizing who watches over us and who our helper is. This is one of the greatest gifts that we have, and it's going to give you joy. Psalms 121, verse 1. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I don't know if you read the bulletin article this morning or not. I talked about the sin of homosexuality and how many people in this day and age don't even accept it as sin anymore, even though this is one of the few sins that was mentioned in every dispensation within the Scriptures. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed in part because of this sin. As a matter of fact, we get the word for homosexuality from Sodom. That's how serious it was to God. Under the old law, the law of Moses, when it was given to Moses on Mount Sinai, certainly it was the law of God, but it was the law of God that was given through Moses. This sin was so vile in God's eyes that people were to be stoned for that sin. God didn't do it because he hated them. God did it because they fell out of the covenant and they were violating his laws. In the New Testament, homosexuality is also condemned. And yet a lot of people don't like that because they are not getting their help from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. They are getting their help and their advice from men. And it makes them mad because men have told them, no, this is normal. This is natural. That's the way God made them. But God says that's not the way he made them. We just looked at a passage of Scripture in our class this morning in Galatians chapter 6 that said, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. And yet we're always doing that. We're always deciding that something he has called a sin isn't a sin, and something that he says is right to do, we don't have to do. And we mock God. That's a scary thing. One of the reasons we lose our joy is because we stop listening to God when he says to do this. We stop doing it. When he says don't do this, we do it anyway. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Where do you want to get your help from and your advice from? The maker of heaven and earth or a resident of the earth? Which makes more sense? But for those who are willing to take God's command seriously, not because they don't like people, but because they believe God, then you get joy. And joy is important because it allows you to really savor this life. Do you have joy? He will not let your foot slip. When I was working on this roof over here, one of my main goals was not to let my foot slip when I was up on the roof. It was 10 feet to 18 feet. Now, that does not seem that high until you're up there. And it may not seem that high to some of you who are younger, but I can tell you at 58 years old, when I see somebody fall, my whole body feels jarred. I can feel the impact. If I fall from 0 feet, it hurts. And so I was really cautious on not letting my foot slip. You know, from a spiritual standpoint, it says God will not let your foot slip. If you are in that covenant position with God, spiritually you are bulletproof. If you are refusing to live a life of sin, but you've come out of that, God won't let you slip. It's a great gift. Again, we talked about that in Galatians chapter 6. I think it's in verse 8 where it talked about those who reap to please the flesh will reap corruption, but those who sow to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. What a great gift that is. He will not let your foot slip. That's important. It's important. It gets more important to me with every day I live. I really like getting older and looking forward to heaven, not because I deserve it, but because God has promised it and He's faithful. If I'll just do my little part, it's guaranteed He'll do His. He will not let your foot slip. That's a great gift. That's one of the things that gives you incredible joy. He who watches over you will not slumber. God's always on the job. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. The Lord watches over you. Isn't that a comfort? You know, when you're young parents and you're leaving your child for the first time or maybe the 100th time, you want to make sure that that person that's watching your children are going to be reliable, that they really are going to watch your children because they're precious to you. And so you really do your best to pick out somebody who will be responsible, who will not harm your children, but who will protect your children. And that's not always easy because people can deceive us. But God watches over us. He's the perfect caregiver. Isn't that wonderful? God watches over you. That's why your soul is protected if you're in a covenant position with Him. He's the one that'll take care of it. You don't have to worry about the devil somehow outfoxing God and you're having to go to hell. God's going to win, and He watches over you. It's a tremendous gift. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. Do you believe that? You know, I used to be concerned about physical things in life. I still am. I try not to be irresponsible. And I would encourage you young people to not feel 10 foot tall and bulletproof to the point of irresponsibility. But I can tell you this. I can look back on my life and see where God, for whatever reason, allowed me to continue to go on. When I was about 7 years old, I was in a swimming pool, a public swimming pool, and I felt like I was going under for the last time. I was trying to holler for help, but I couldn't keep my head above water long enough to help, and I was sucking water into my lungs. And somehow I was able to struggle over to the side, and I was okay after spitting some of the water out of my lungs. But there were other times, I don't know how many times I climbed a real tall tree that once I got to the top of that tree, I couldn't see to get down. And I just kind of have to hang there and hang a foot out until I feel like God watched over me then. I don't want to be frivolous about what we're talking about here, but I really do believe that He watched over me. There must have been something that I still had time to do. I can't explain to you why I climbed tall trees. It was just something within me. Carolyn used to say, why do you do that? And I say, why do men climb mountains? And Carolyn would always say, because men are stupid. That may have been it. But there was just something in me when I saw a tall hill that it had to be sledded down or bike ridden down or a tall tree it had to be climbed. And I can't disagree with that idea because men are stupid. But I don't know how many times I got down out of a situation that maybe I could have gotten hurt or killed on. I feel like God has watched over me, and I look at my family, and I believe God has watched over us as well, physically. But this is not what this is talking about. This is talking about spiritually. Spiritually, God will make sure that your soul is secure as long as you're in a covenant position with Him. If you die and you are in Christ, you're going to live forever with God because God watches over you. It's a tremendous gift. And again, while we should not be irresponsible with that gift, it allows us to go through life with a certain confidence. If you have bad health, you probably need to make sure you're taking care of your health. if you're doing something dangerous that you don't have to do, maybe you should stop doing that. But from a perspective of are you going to heaven or not, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming both now and forevermore. This is what gives us joy, is this understanding of if my life was to end right now, I'd be okay. Not because I am so good, but because this is the agreement God has with me. If something happened to one of my children while they're in a covenant position with God, I'd hate to lose them for the rest of this physical life, but they're okay spiritually. I really love that about life. It gives me a confidence in life. And it will give you a confidence as well. And it gives us joy. There's one last thought on this. It's the 100th Psalm. It's a psalm for giving thanks. I like that. You want joy in your life? Be thankful. You want to be happy? Be thankful. You want to ask God for something? Don't go to Him like a terrorist with a list of demands. Go to Him with thanksgiving and then humbly beseech Him. Thanksgiving is one of the things that will make you happy in life, guaranteed, if you have a proper thanksgiving towards God. A psalm for giving thanks, the 100th Psalm, shout for joy, gladness, delight. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. I don't know about you, but I've never been that impressed with my singing voice. But I do like the fact that we can joyfully sing. And I like the fact that God recognizes the praise rather than maybe what may lack in quality. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. You want joy in your life? This will take care of a lot of the things that give you angst right now. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pastures. Enter His courts with thanksgiving. Did you do that today? His courts with praise. Give Him thanks and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all the generations. Maybe if we're missing our joy, maybe this is where we need to start. You go to God and you thank Him. You thank Him for bringing you to this point. You thank Him for the opportunity of salvation. If you are in a covenant position with Him, you thank Him that you are saved, not because you deserve it, because He is so good and faithful. And if you are not, you thank Him for the opportunity to find out what you need to do so that you can get in that covenant position so that you can enjoy this life and an eternity with Him. Are you missing joy? If so, you need to ask yourself why. And is it not barely possible that the answer to that is because you're not in that covenant position with Him? If you're not, let me encourage you to do everything within your power to make sure that you have taken care of everything you need to. And someday you'll be in heaven forever. May I read you this little note? I'll close with this. It's addressed to my grandfather. It says, Jimmy Alls, from your sister Laura Bell. This was inside a Bible that she gave him on 12/28 of 1927. That you may search the scriptures and know the truth. My grandfather, Jimmy Alls, loved drink more than he loved his family. He left his family, left his kids to be raised by his wife. Literally died, I believe it was in 1965 or 66, on what you and I would call Skid Row. Because this just seemed too simple to him, and the other too enticing. He thought he'd find his joy somewhere outside Christ. And he not only forfeited a life with a beautiful family, but if he didn't repent before he died, he forfeited his eternity. My encouragement to you is to take advantage of what you have now. If you're not sure you're a Christian, make sure this week. If you are a Christian and you haven't been living well, you can change that right where you are. But if you'd like the prayers of the congregation, or if you're ready to become a Christian this morning, we'd encourage you to come forward while we're standing and singing.